grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our Father, at the baptism of Jesus, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized into Christ faithful to their calling to be your daughters and sons, and empower us with all your Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. I bought a card yesterday. I bought a card. It's a birthday card, and I'm going to read this card to you. It says, a son, who's a son in here? Anybody's a son? Yes. A son touches the heart in a very special way. You may not, then on the inside of the card, it says, you may not hear this often enough, but you have been wonderful through the years, and you're loved very much. Happy birthday. Who could get that card? Who would like to have that card given to them on their birthday that says you are loved very much? Would you like that card on your birthday?
Yeah.
You know, would you like that card on your birthday, Carter? That says you are loved very much. This is, today we're celebrating not a birthday, but a baptism day. And on baptism day, God said to Jesus, you are my son and I love you so darn much. I can't stand it. I love you so much. I'm just happy. I'm very happy. God loved Jesus so much. He called him beloved. Beloved. That means that just kind of want to put your arms around him all the time. And when you got baptized, God said the same thing to you. You are my child. You are my beloved. I love you very much. Just like this card says, you are loved very much. I don't have a son, so I can't use this card. I'm going to give this card to Jennifer, and she can give it to one of her sons. Uh-oh. When you got baptized, not only did God call you his beloved son, beloved daughter, beloved child, you were marked with a cross, and we said, you are marked with the cross of Christ and sealed, like you seal an envelope and stick it together, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. And God wants us to remember that we got baptized. God wants us to remember that God always loves us, but sometimes we forget that God loves us. So one thing he did is, stand up, Penny, I want to show. What shape did God make her body? What? Yes, a cross. So every time God looks at you, he remembers his son Jesus, he remembers the cross. So we, just by being in our bodies, were reminded that God loves us. So make a cross on your forehead. Make a cross on your forehead. That is a sign. Sometimes we do that when we come into church. Touch the water. Make a sign on your forehead, remembering that you got baptized. Remember, how many of you got baptized at this water, at this font? They don't remember, but they're... I'm going to ask you too. So you, when you got baptized and water was poured on your head and the cross was made here, you remember that you got baptized and that God loves you very much. And there's one other way that we remember. Sometimes our prayers end with a blessing, And we say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we can make that cross on our bodies. So do it with me. In the name of the Father. Do it with me, Cameron. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so let's do it again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We make the sign of the cross on our bodies to show that we belong to God and God belongs to us. God loves you so much and he's got you in a grip and he'll never let you go. So off to Sunday school. And when we sing this song, I want you to listen to the words of this song that we sing, because this song tells us that same truth. Jesus loves the little children.
A reading from Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 29 responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to
the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes.
The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes.
The
voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, glory.
The Lord,
give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace.
Glory to God.
A reading from Acts. Peter began to speak to Cornelius and his household. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to those who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Sometime in the late 1930s, my grandparents left the farm in Fauk County, South Dakota, and moved across the state, where my grandfather took a job at the meatpacking plant in southern South Dakota. They got involved in the community and in the local church, and started to make a name for themselves. When the youngest daughter graduated from high school, there was an article in the newspaper about the end of an era, because my grandparents, Ray and Alvina Kellen, had 10 daughters. There was a son too, but poor boy. And they moved from the farm after eight daughters were born. And my grandfather said, "I'm never going to get a helper." So they moved from the farm. And the next year, David was born. And then three more girls after that. Those 10 girls went to the local Catholic high school. And for 20 years straight, there was always a Kellen girl in that high school. And so the newspaper was saying this is the end of an era, all these Kellens. We lived right next door to my grandparents when I was a kid, and I used to go by the name Kellen. I would say that I was a Kellen. Even though La Follette was my family name, I would claim that I was a Kellen because it was easily recognized. The teachers all know Kellens, the pastors, the merchants in town, the grocery store owners. If you said you were a Kellen, you were good to go. Everyone knew Kellen. And by claiming that name for myself, it meant that I belonged to this larger extended family. It meant that I had standing, that I mattered because I belonged. In fact, when I went to kindergarten and the first draw a picture of your family, it was my mom and my dad and my older brother and my younger brother and then the three little girls. And they were that's what we called them, the three little girls. It was my mom's younger sister, and the youngest one was just 5 years older than I. So they were school kids when I was in kindergarten, and we kind of lived together. I thought they were my sisters. I didn't, who are these people? Those are the three little girls, as which is my mother called them. I belonged to that family. Now, I'm telling this story because it points out, I think, the power of names. Even though Kellen wasn't have as much power as, say, Gates or Buffett, it still had something. There was still some power there. In the north end of Sioux Falls, it was recognized and it mattered. The gospel story that we just read about the baptism of Jesus reminds us that we, like Jesus in baptism,
are also given a name that matters. We are given the name Beloved. Biblical scholars have long debated this passage. Some don't like it because why did Jesus have to get baptized? He was sinless. And why would he be baptized? Those scholars understand baptism as mostly the idea of being washed clean of sin. Well, why did Jesus, who was sinless, have to be baptized? So that was kind of confusing. Other scholars don't like it because of this idea of Jesus. It says Jesus submitted to the baptism of John. Well, how can Jesus submit to anyone? And John kind of has that same trouble. He doesn't want to baptize Jesus. He goes, no, that's, you got it mixed up. You're the one that should be baptizing me. And so it's confusing in that sense too. But despite those objections and those questions, this gospel passage is important for us to look at today because we need to see baptism as a dynamic activity, a present tense activity, rather than simply as something in the past. Maybe a ceremony, a ritual in the church, or a nice photo in your family scrapbook. Of course, baptism washes away sin, but not just once. Baptism is a promise of ongoing forgiveness of sin. Baptism is a promise of an ongoing relationship with God. This is important for us to remember and to understand when we think about baptism, but it also provides us with something more. It provides us with a name, Beloved. And with that name, an identity. A child of God, one who belongs to God and to whom God is unfailingly committed. In that name and in that identity is the key for our lives. You know, it's part of our culture, it seems, that we want to identify people by many names. Democrat or Republican, liberal or conservative, rich or poor, gay or straight, member or visitor, black or white. This list goes on and on. But we're also named and identified by the products that we use and by the stores that we shop in. Is anyone wearing a shirt that says Polo? Or does anybody have a logo shirt on? There's one. Anybody, Quicksilver. Does anybody have a pair of shoes that say the name? I went to buy a pair of shoes last week, or a couple weeks ago, and I was in Macy's, and there was this whole section of shoes, really cute shoes, but they had initials on them. They had gold little MK. And I thought, what is this? And then I thought it was a purse that matched and had a big MK on it. And then the shoes all had these little things. And I thought, that's not my initials. And, you know, why do I want to, what is that? And then Michael Corrin? Corrin, of course. Whatever it is, I did not buy those shoes. I don't want to be identified by those shoes, by somebody else's initials, I don't want to do advertising, but I do consider myself a Starbucks person. I do consider myself, not true, but you know, an Apple person. I have an Android, but we claim our identity, who we are. I was at a party on Friday night. We had an Epiphany party with the pastors, and one of the pastors said, I'm a Diet Coke person. And I thought, you don't look like a Diet Coke person. You know, just how we claim not only saying that this is something that we like, but we take it on as our identity. that can be a problem. There's a professor at Duke University who's doing ongoing research. He's a marketing professor. And his ongoing research worldwide, not just in the US, is about how people claim and wear brands and identifications. The way that it names them, almost like we use expressions of our religious faith, that a person of faith might make a sign of the cross, or might make a sign of the cross, or might wear a cross on their neck, or have a picture in their house, or have a sticker on their car. We do things that are signs of our faith, but across our culture, people are doing the same kind of things, claiming products or logos. I remember when that swish came out, that little swish that says, just do it.
Nike.
Whoever thought up that?
A woman.
That was on the note to her husband concerning the law. Importance of remembering our primary identity, our identity as a child of God, and how in baptism we are named, and how God named us then and continues to name us. It's not a one-time thing, you know, 20 years ago or 40 years ago or 5 years ago. We are named and claimed in baptism, and we are called beloved. It's not that all those other things are worthless. In fact, some of those other titles or names that we give ourselves are very important to us, but they can't define us. We cannot be defined by what we own or what names and labels others put on us. We can only be defined by our baptism, by God's claiming of us, that relationship that we have with God through that sacrament, because that is who we are, the beloved. Names are powerful. In the very next verse, if we had read our gospel one more verse, we would hear the Matthew telling us that Jesus then was led out to the wilderness to be tempted. That happens only after he is baptized, only after he has been claimed by God. In the same way, when we remember that we are God's beloved children, we are far more able to flourish and grow amid the whirlwind of names and identities and loyalties that compete for our attention. When we claim ourselves as who we are, claimed by God as his beloved. So hear this good news. Baptism matters because it tells us, by reminding us who we are, whose we are, God's beloved child. Henry Nouwen wrote, "Life is not about making a name for ourselves, but of uncovering the name that we have always had, beloved." Life is not about making a name for ourselves, but about uncovering the name that we have always had, beloved. Names are powerful. They convey identity and purpose and authority and more. And we have been given an awesome family name. We are God's beloved children. And every time we get wet, Martin Luther says, when you wash your face in the morning, remember that you were baptized. Every time you see a body of water, oh, we're right here in the ocean. I come across that the rise here on coming down Point Loma, and as I come over that hill and there's a stop sign there and I see the ocean, and I say, thank you, God, I could end it up in Texas. No, I don't say that part. I think that part. Every time we make a cross on our bodies, either a full cross, as Martin Luther instructed us to do in the morning and at night, or a cross on our forehead, I've developed this habit from little on, but and I continue to do it to today. As I put my feet out of my bed, my foot touches the floor, and I make a cross on my forehead and say, I'm a baptized child of God. Nothing bad can happen to me, because you can't shipwreck your baptism. You are claimed, you are held, you are God's child. You are beloved. Frank Honeycutt, who's a pastor, just retired, in South Carolina, I met him there. He wrote an article in this week's this month's Lutheran magazine, The Living Lutheran. How many of you got this in your mail this week? And he has a column in here. It's called Unsolicited Advice from a Departing Pastor. So he is retired, and this is his last column, and or his last advice to his parishioners. And he says that you didn't ask for this advice, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Do these four things. Study the Bible, show up for worship, remember your baptism, and give generously. Do those four things, and you've got it made. Let me read the one paragraph on remember your baptism. If you don't know the date of your baptism, I must caringly wonder why. Maslow's old hierarchy of needs, identity, is one of the keys to health and maturity. Baptism shapes our Christian identity. For a Christian, life begins and is viewed through this watery lens. You were ordained for ministry in baptism, a sacrament that exceeds in biblical importance any ordination. Your baptism date defines and shapes all other dates, birth, marriage, national holidays. If you don't know your baptism date, discover it. Luther made the sign of the cross over his body at dawn and at bedtime in remembrance of his baptism. The cross is the shape of the baptismal life. The Christian life is a sacrificial life. I think that's good advice. To remember our baptism, to remember that we are claimed, that we are called the beloved children. We're going to affirm. You might not. Does anybody remember the date of their or know the date of their baptism? A few of us do. That's and the rest of you, find out. Find out when you, and the easy way to do that is look in your baby book or in your family Bible. It might be written down there, or contact the church where you were baptized or where you think you were baptized. And look it up. We're going to affirm our baptism today. So if you would turn to the front part of your hymnal, page 234 at the bottom of the page, 234 at the bottom. 234 at the bottom. Not in the hymn section. Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for these sisters and brothers whom you have made your own by water and the word in baptism. You've called them to yourself, enlightened them with your gifts of your spirit, and nourished them in community of faith. Uphold your servants in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. Please stand as you are able. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, to reject sin and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God?
I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God.
His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He is seated in heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now it's on 237. You have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth?
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
People of God, do you promise to support and pray for one another in your life in Christ?
We do, and we ask God to help and guide us.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give us new birth, cleanse us from sin, and raise us to eternal life. Stir up in your people the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever.
Amen.
Let us sing our hymn, Going on a Journey.
What's the, are you going on a journey?